Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Both hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds, they are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL to college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever can try to go stop it. Only be talking the truth, only be talking the truth, ayy.
Taz to the Moose with you here on this Wednesday morning on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. As you've got Mike and Pete across the way, Andrew Bogish with your updates as we go right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. And spend a lot of hour number one. Talk a little bit about the Durant update to the injury. Not much there. A lot about the Raptor fan behavior. Toronto fan, following the KD injury in Game 5, Game 6 tomorrow night out in Golden State as Oracle will get one more game before their new arena opens up next year, Taz. And you know, we were having a little bit of a conversation during the course of the break. As we know, Kevin Durant is here in New York, where we broadcast from.
Right.
Right? And he also has, a brand spanking new penthouse that he bought as well here.
Really?
In New York City, yeah. Within the last year.
Is he in a station here?
No, I don't think. To be honest with you, I don't know. It could be
a crash pad for us.
Yeah,
you know?
It could be like two blocks away. I have no idea where it is.
Mike's
but I do know that he did buy a penthouse here in New York City.
Wow.
But he's got an MRI on that right leg, and what is to see if it's confirmed that he did suffer a complete tear of his Achilles tendon. And then we'll find out exactly if that's the case when the surgery how long he's going to be out for, what he decides to do come June 29th, because that's the date you got to circle on the calendar is June 29th, because that's the decision he has to make whether or not he – opts out, opts in to the final year of that two-year deal that he signed last year with the Golden State Warriors, or decides to try and test free agency come your way the next day, June 30th, starting at 6 o'clock Eastern time.
That's around the block, man.
That's right around the block. Yeah. Later on this month. I mean, we're talking about a couple weeks out, from that. 17 days from the Durant decision, 18 days from the start of NBA free agency. As we sit here on this Wednesday morning, June the 12th, Taz, but we were talking about during the course of the break accountability, and there's going to be a lot more to this Durant story in Golden State. And whether it be the Bob Myers presser where he put all the blame on himself and sounded emotional, even though those that were watching it and in attendance up at Scotiabank Arena will say he didn't really shed a tear. He was clearly felt guilty and devastated. You heard the comments from Steve Kerr, every single Warrior player, every Toronto player that was brought to the microphone or asked by a reporter talked about the Durant injury as well. But now the relationship between Golden State and Kevin Durant and really what you'll learn to know, because, it was I believe it was Rachel Nichols, I mentioned it, at close of last hour report, that she said she spoke to Steve Kerr. She does a show every day on ESPN called The Jump. She spoke to Steve Kerr, and he said basically the medical doctors is that the worst thing that Durant could do would be retweaking the calf, right? That's what they believed, right? I heard that yesterday. When that report was played back. Now, if that's the case, the doctors were dead wrong. I mean, obviously, if this is a complete tear of the Achilles, it's one thing to retweak the calf. It's another thing to tear your Achilles. And the impact not only of the amount of time that he's going to be out, Taz, but what he is going to be as a player. And this is where you got to be careful where people want to say, well, if you're Golden State here and if you're Kevin Durant, how do you handle it? Well, if you're Durant, I mean, yeah, you're happy your team won, but I'd be absolutely ticked off that, I step back on the court and this is the case, I know I wanted to play, but sometimes as a team, you also got to protect the player too, no?
Yeah, no, you do. And
maybe he was told, I mean, listen, maybe Kerr's not telling the complete truth. Maybe he was told that there's a chance, a minute chance, but there's a chance you could rupture your Achilles tendon.
There had to be. Someone had to say that. And by the way, it's like, it's not just, I know you're not saying this, but just so people know, it's not just up to the trainer or the doctor. It's got to be up to the player, too. He's got to feel like he can go. He's got to feel, and they put you through a litany of physical tests, you know? I mean, so it's like, I don't understand how the head coach, Kerr, can be told that. How he can be told, worst thing that happens, he tweaks the calf again. I don't understand. Like I was saying before we went to break, the calf muscle, those fibers are connected all to your Achilles tendon, which is that, you know, that ligament-y big thing in the back of your ankle. Everybody has one. And or two, not one. But anyway, but it's connected. So, and like I said yesterday, I said it a moment ago, when you have an injury to your calf, or in this situation, his calf, other ligaments and muscle fibers are going to compensate because that's how the body works for when you have an injury. So if you you have a problem with your hamstring, you know, your glutes will start firing off more, meaning the muscles in your buttocks, right? So that, you know, so if you have a problem with your bicep, you know, your deltoid, your shoulder, and part of your tricep will start working because the body works. It works together. I didn't go to medical school. I just was an athlete who's been injured a lot, and I've been around guys who've been injured a lot. And athletes know this stuff just from experience. My point is, I'm not putting myself over. What I'm saying is, how does a friggin' doctor not know that? And tell the head coach that.
Well, that's it, unless Kerr is not telling the complete story. I mean, you know, unless he's not being 100% truthful, Taz. Or maybe they decided not to let Kerr know that. I don't know.
Well,
maybe Kerr didn't question or look into it all that much. Just, you know, wanted to see if his player was clear to go and get back on the court. A couple of things hit me. The criticism that Kawhi Leonard faced last year as he protected himself, you know, hit me after the Durant injury. And Kawhi talked about the fact that, you know, he can kind of relate to what Durant is going through with this injury. You know, Kawhi did not trust the Spurs team doctors because he was getting different medical advice.
He was coming to New York to see
Well, he was coming to New York, and the doctors in New York were telling him something different than the San Antonio doctors were telling him in terms of where his injury is and what he needed to do, and he didn't necessarily trust the San Antonio doctors, and then it ended the relationship with him and the Spurs, and Popovich called him out, and then some players called him out.
Yeah.
And why are you not back on the court, not back with us? And then the relationship just completely imploded, and now we see him doing his thing and starring for the Toronto Raptors, Taz.
Yeah.
So it does for me, you know, kind of look at that Kawhi scenario, and as everybody was roundly criticizing Kawhi Leonard, yeah, you have to protect the asset that is yourself. And Kawhi decided to do that, and Kevin Durant decided to gamble on it because ultimately he could control it, right? He could basically say,
absolutely,
he steps on the court. Nobody forced Kevin Durant to go on the court. Nobody said, you have to play in game five. He made the choice. Ultimately, he made the choice to step on the court.
Totally agree with that. And even if there was any kind of passive aggressiveness from the coaching staff or the medical staff, which could happen, where they kind of put some passive pressure on you, it happens in college too, to be honest with you, with coaches, with good players. And the thing is, that could have happened, but, you know, Kevin Durant's a veteran, he's a superstar, he's a millionaire, and he's earned that because he's great. So he's not a kid, he's a grown-ass man, he's 30 years old, he gets it, but he's a competitor. And you know what? And there's been a lot of people that even had this narrative that, hey, Kevin Durant, he doesn't want to play. Hey, he's dogging it. Hey, he just, you know, he wants to keep his body healthy and then just, you know, once July 1's about here, he can go play, go sign with the Knicks for $1 zillion or the Nets or whatever or wherever he's going to go, you know, do. I think he proved that's dead wrong. He proved he's competitive. He proved he wanted to play. He shut everyone down for those 11 minutes he played. In the narrative of that he's just all about the money. He's not. He wanted to win. He wanted to play. And you're right. No one. At the end of the day, they could make him feel a little pressure passively.
Well, and to play to that point, Taz, I heard a great story from Brandon Haywood, right? Center in the NBA, former North Carolina Tar Heel, right? He was a member of the Dallas Mavericks the year they won the NBA title, right?
Yeah.
I heard him tell a story yesterday on SiriusXM NBA Radio. I'll give him and deserves. He was telling me the fact of, if you think players don't feel pressure from coaches, you're wrong.
That's what I was just saying, yeah.
Because exactly. He said during the NBA Finals that year, right, he was nursing an injury. He didn't feel like he could play. And he had coaches coming up to him basically saying to him, you know, can you give us – we need you.
Right.
Can you give us some time? Can you give us some
– I believe that.
And he decided because he felt the pressure to get back on the court, he went back on the court. And basically lasted a minute and a half to where he had to then come out of the game because he realized he couldn't play.
Right.
But he did succumb to the pressure, and then he came back 2 days later, took a little bit of help to get back on the court, and basically went up to Rick Carlisle and said, I can give you 3 minutes a half if you need me. I mean, so this whole idea that players don't feel pressure internally, whether it be from players or coaches, is nonsense.
It
you
is
do.
Nonsense. I mean, and that's what I was saying. I'm just telling you. I'm telling you.
And that happens. I was just emphasizing that point with an example of a guy that just didn't happen all that long ago. This was the NBA Finals.
And just imagine, I'm just saying, like in college it happens and no one talks about it. And just, and I know we're not talking about college sports right now. I'm just telling you, like in college it happens. Imagine with kids that are 19 years old, 20 years old, getting that kind of indirect, passive-aggressive pressure from coaches. It happens, and it's not cool.
No.
And, it's not cool at all. Anyway, back to Durant. I don't know, man. And about the Warriors, I just feel like something's just – I think once the finals are over and whoever is crowned the champions, if it's the Warriors or the Raptors, whoever it is, I just feel like the other shoe's going to drop with this. And KD's probably going to be the one to speak up, especially if he leaves, and talk about what happened here leading up to why he played in this game. If it was all on him, maybe he'll just take it on the chin and say, I wanted to play. It was that simple. Or if it was like, if they told him there could be a chance that he could maybe affect his Achilles. Because listen, I said it the other day when you were out and Andrew was here. I said it to you yesterday. I'm telling you, on Sunday, when Kevin Durant, had that light practice and no one, and he was supposed to work out with the young players and all that stuff, and he didn't do much of anything. When he came out of that gym, I know I read reports that he came out with not just ice on his calf. He had ice on his Achilles. He did.
No, I believe
and
you.
I'm trying to find that damn report.
No, listen, Taz.
So they knew something was up. That's what I'm saying.
Well, the better half of me wants to believe that they would not put him in harm's way and put him in that kind of way. Now, you want to win. You want to win another NBA championship. You're not thinking the worst. Kevin Durant has to understand the risk. It's not just he has to get medically cleared. He has to make the decision to go back on the court, and then the organization has to make the decision and put him back on the court. And I agree with you. We'll find out more and more about this as – we heard Charles Barkley yesterday comment on it and basically say, he puts the blame on Warriors. They should have never put him back on the court. And that's fair. You could feel that way. But Charles Barkley also, after the Zion Williamson injury down in Duke, said this is what we do. We play. Players play. Where, we want to get back on the court. So you can't have it both ways. Have it both ways. You can't say, then you could make the argument then if he was going to be consistent, Duke should never have put Zion Williamson back on the court. They did.
Right.
We know they didn't win the national championship, but he said that with regards to Zion, but in reference to Kevin Durant, he basically puts the blame on Golden State. Listen, I think what we heard from Myers and we heard from a lot of, Steve Kerr, the overwhelming guilt that organization is feeling right now, that Durant suffered this kind of a significant injury. I think that's what you're seeing from Golden State right now. And they should feel a little bit guilty. For those that in the Sam Amick article and the column that he wrote on The Athletic, that there were some anonymously within the Warriors organization questioning Durant, questioning that. I do think if you're in that Golden State franchise and you did question Kevin Durant, you should feel a whole hell of a lot of guilt because now he is facing a long road back in order to get back on NBA court.
Yeah, it's exactly. I mean, it's It stinks. I mean, players have had this. I mean, it's some players come back with a lot of success. You know, they still could be successful after it, but it's hard. It's a grueling. I've never torn my Achilles. I don't even know if I know anyone who did, to be honest with you. It's going to take time, and there's a lot of pain in the rehab, from what I understand. You know, that's a major, you know, ligament. That's a major, you know, deal back there.
Right. The one thing that helps him is he's not a big-bodied athlete.
Well, he's not heavy. That does help. That does help.
So, yeah. I mean, it took DeMarcus Cousins well over 300 days to get back. I think it was like 350 days or 40 days, something like that, to get back on the basketball court. DeMarcus Cousins is a heavy man. He's a big guy.
Right.
Kevin Durant, you know, is a tall individual. We know that, but is not... is not a heavy individual. So that does help Kevin Durant a little bit.
Okay, let me just... So this, I told you about the Achilles and the ankle. So Nick Friedel from ESPN, this is what I saw. See the ankle? He's got... And Mike B grabbed this for me because I knew I saw it somewhere. He's got ice right there in the back of his Achilles.
Yeah.
And that's Sunday, dude. See, that's Sunday.
Yeah.
So there it is. So,
there
Mike, we're going to retweet this. We'll have the massive research
team.
So
there
team.
You go. You found nice.
Well, that's what I break news here. I mean, you know that. That's kind of my gimmick. I didn't really break the news. I just remember. But here's the thing, all kidding aside. Like, this guy, Friedel, said this, put this out there, and had a photo of the, and we just tweeted it out. And it's like, no one talked about this. Like, I know, like I said, you were out on Monday. Andrew was here. And I brought it up to Andrew, and I'm not saying Andrew didn't know, but it's like, I don't think anybody was talking about the ankle, the Achilles.
Yeah, I don't know.
I saw it on Sunday.
Maybe they felt like that's the way they needed to ice his back of his leg down.
I'm glad you said that. Hold on. Maybe, again, I'm not a trainer, you're not a trainer, right? So maybe it's a case where he's got inflammation in his back of his calf. So we need to ice his Achilles also to bring the complete inflammation down to the back of his leg. Okay. Then why is someone telling Steve Kerr from the medical staff that all he can do is injure the calf when you ice down his Achilles on Sunday?
Right. Well, yeah, true. I don't disagree with you. It's a strange scenario, Taz.
Someone's lying, dude.
Well, and we'll find out more information as this goes along.
Someone's lying.
We will find out a lot more information.
We're going to find out who's lying. You and I.
We will.
Well, maybe.
We will.
Mike will.
There you go. So you've been searching for it for a couple days. Good job, Mikey B. Found it. Right?
I've been searching for a couple days, and Mike found it in about a minute.
Yeah, there you
right?
go. It was a grand search. We'll come back. 13-0. Oh, it was a drubbing yesterday by the United States women's team in the Women's World Cup. Some loved it, some didn't. We'll get into that next. It's Taz and the Moose on this Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Superstar, the Mind, Becky Lynch, and you're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Coming up later on in the program, we're going to chat with Dan Rosen, talk about Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals tonight up in Beantown, Bruins and Blues. We'll chat a little Women's World Cup coming your way straight ahead. Bogus is in the house. What's going on, Andrew?
There he is.
Hello.
Music? No? We're still not doing that? Oh, there it is. Thanks, Moose. Here's your report. It is sponsored by Wrangler Outdoor. Pants and shirts made with durable fabrics, moisture management, and UPF 30 protection. Wrangler Outdoor, clothing with outdoor credibility and everyday versatility. Try them on today.
I was wrong, Moose, when I said to you during the break about this guy. Remember?
Yeah.
I was wrong. All right. No problem.
I wasn't here for the conversation, so
no. I was wrong when I said about Andrew.
Oh. All right.
What did you say about Andrew?
Oh, nothing.
Defending the ice of the leg of Kevin Durant that you didn't.
When we talked, when you sat in for Moose,
yes,
and you had mentioned that it was on his. Why are you smirking right now?
I'm not.
I just watched your face smirk.
So that you defended that, saying that it was on his hamstring, and Taz said it was on his Achilles.
We okay.
And you looked at me like I was crazy, and I said, "Dude, it's on his Achilles."
Time out.
What?
We did not have a anything close to a debate about where the ice was on his leg on Monday.
No one said debate. Who said debate?
Moose just said a hamstring.
Moose didn't say debate.
He just said hamstring.
No, he meant
or
calf.
Defended.
Yeah, we talk about a lot of body parts here on the show.
Oh no, Taz, you told me hamstring.
I meant calf.
Oh,
the back of the leg area. Back of the calf. Whatever. I meant back of the calf. I said it. When I brought it up to you, Andrew,
yes.
And I mentioned that there was also ice on his Achilles,
yes,
you looked at me like I had 10 heads.
I don't remember that.
I do.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Well, Ted,
it's okay.
Whatever I did, I'm sorry.
Just say you were wrong. And
I know I was wrong.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes.
I know I was wrong. I've been wrong since the beginning.
I'm starting to get the rep, I think, here that I just want to be right all the time. And that's not
starting.
Okay, everyone's chiming in. Mike's nodding his head. Pete's saying yes. Moose is saying starting. And Andrew just laughs on my face. Okay.
Alrighty. Well, you're correct.
Yeah, thank you. That's...
Good job.
So smart.
Pete just chiming in rapido now. Like,
yeah. So right.
See, look, he's so frustrated. Look at him.
I was really hoping that you guys were wearing the same pullover today, but you're not.
Never happened.
No,
he doesn't have what I have.
Right. No, Taz doesn't have what Pete has. So.
My bank statement.
Taz will never wear that because he doesn't own that.
Well, you're half right. I actually do have the same one as him, and I won't wear it because he wears it every day.
Yeah.
So I can never wear my Taz and the Moose hot jacket, so I'll wear other ones.
Gotcha.
I have other Taz and Moose ones, and I'm wearing my esteemed Buffalo Bill one right now.
Yeah, I don't have a custom Taz and Moose tailor. So.
Well, once you get better at your job, you will. Okay?
Raise my standards.
Yes. This is really depressing 2 minutes.
There's Mr. Sensitivity, Mike. Sick
bad
all you
at
people.
Your job. You're wrong.
Oh, here we go. I said something earlier to Mike off air, joking around, and he gave me the whole Snowflake Jones. I mean, come on. Stop,
yes, Mike. I'm a snowflake.
Stop, Mike. He's starting to get me mad, Moose. Let's just, please.
Well, no, you're right. You're right, Tess.
Yeah. You're right. Whatever. Yeah. I'm wrong.
Shut up, Snowflake.
All right. Go ahead, Andrew.
All right, here we go. All we still know at this point is that...
It's an Achilles injury.
For Kevin Durant, no full diagnosis yet, with KD reportedly heading to New York yesterday for evaluation while the Warriors return to Oakland. The finals resumes tomorrow night as the Raptors try again to win the first championship in team history. The Grizzlies have hired Bucks assistant Taylor Jenkins as their new head coach. Jenkins worked under Mike Budenholzer in both Milwaukee and Atlanta. He is the third Budenholzer assistant to become a head coach, following Quinn Snyder and Kenny Atkinson. The Stanley Cup final is won tonight, Game 7 in Boston for the Bruins and the Blues. The road team has won the last two Game 7s for the Cup, including these Bruins in Vancouver back in 2011. Cam Newton back on the field yesterday as the Panthers began minicamp. Newton throwing in public for the first time since offseason shoulder surgery. Head coach Ron Rivera with the recap.
He did exactly what we had scripted out, and that was sort of make some targeted throws. See how he feels later on today and how it feels tomorrow will dictate how much more he does. But again, he's this is all through the process. He's going through the steps of his recovery. I'm very pleased with him. I really was.
The Panthers also showed off new D-tackle Gerald McCoy yesterday. Cowboys wideout Allen Hurns ran routes at minicamp and expects to be at full strength for training camp. Hurns suffered a dislocated ankle and broken fibula back in January. And depending on how you look at it, the Raiders lost the Hard Knocks sweepstakes yesterday. They'll be on HBO this summer. Taz already mentioned the Mets' thrilling 10-4 win at Yankee Stadium last night. It began with Pete Alonso's accidental 3-run homer in the first. His manager, Mickey Callaway.
He said he was trying to foul that off. And he hit it 400 feet. It's unbelievable. No, he literally said that. He was like, I was just trying to foul that one off. So I guess when he tries to foul him off, he can hit him far as well.
It was a high fastball from James Paxton that Alonso hit over the left center field fence. He's up to 22 homers, the second most ever by an NL rookie before the All-Star break. Cody Bellinger had 25 two seasons ago. His Dodgers 5-3 losers in Anaheim last night and shortstop Corey Seager may have suffered a major hamstring injury, an MRI for him today. The Astros outscored the Brewers 10-8. The Rangers a 9-5 win at Fenway. Oakland a 4-3 victory in Tampa Bay. And the White Sox outscored the Nats 7-5 on NL grass. The Giants snuck past the Padres 6-5. The Cardinals 7, the Marlins 1, and the Rockies
handled the Cubs 10-3. That's 10 straight wins at home for Colorado. Braves third baseman Josh Donaldson appealing a one-game suspension for escalating Monday's near brawl with the Pirates. And today's schedule, the Women's World Cup in Paris, or in France, rather, begins at 9 Eastern. Nigeria and Korea, then Spain, Germany, then France and Norway. Guys?
All right. Thank you, Andrew. And a good segue into what was a big topic of conversation yesterday, and that is the Women's World Cup taking place over in France, right? The United States are the reigning champions. And they absolutely thrashed Thailand yesterday, 13-0, Taz. Alex Morgan with 5 goals, Carly Lloyd with a goal, Pugh, Rapinoe, Mewis, Horan, Lavelle, all with either one goal or multiple goals. As you know, they set a record yesterday. 13 times did they score, and absolutely thrashed, setting new records, World Cup records. In doing so, right? So the criticism came the United States women's way because of the way that they celebrated and enjoyed the goals, right? And the field during the World Cup after just absolutely dismantling a team that, all due respect to Thailand, should never have been on the same field with the United States women's team. I mean, that's what it was. To see 13 goals being scored in a soccer match, men or women, that is a startling number whenever you look at it. And I got to be honest with you, it doesn't bother me the way the United States women's team celebrated. It didn't.
Bother me either. bother me one bit.
But it bothered a lot of people.
A lot
yesterday.
Of people were pissed. And another thing, Moose, to interrupt you for a sec, a lot of people were upset that they felt like the U.S. women's team ran the score up. Okay, yeah. These are adults. These are people playing on a national level from all over the world. These are not little kids. Okay, there's referees. They're keeping score. The game counts. Keep scoring. If you can't stop me, I'm going to keep scoring. I have no problem with that either.
I don't disagree with you. And, it's one thing when you look at, Taz, when I look at, say, the college game or high school. I do think there can be a little bit of a difference there, right? And some agree, some don't disagree. I do think when you're looking at an instance like the World Cup and you have, grown young women on the World Cup stage, this is going to happen. I mean, when you have such a disparity in talent and ability, sometimes this does transpire. And the other thing is, the United States has got to keep playing their game. If they can't be stopped, if the other team can't stop you, then so be it. I mean, that's it. Sometimes a good old fashioned butt whooping makes you better. As a team understands of what you need to do, how far off you need to go. And I think those that were roundly criticizing the women's team yesterday, and there were some that were out there saying, you should have let up. You need to score 13 goals to play point. Jeez. How are you celebrating goal 10, 11, 12, 13 like it was goal 1 and 2? I mean, you got to represent yourself better. That's all nonsense. It's nonsense. I watch soccer players basically – men's soccer players rip off their shirt, diving into the corner, going insane.
Screaming, spitting, yelling,
and that's
shirtless.
Celebrated, and that's enjoyed, this and that. And I get those matches might be a little bit closer, so the women go out there, dismantle a team that they went in, were overwhelming favorite. You knew they were going to dismantle, maybe not to the count of 13-0, and then I'm going to criticize them for how soundly they beat them?
No.
Come on, Taz.
And it's not just because we're American. If it was the other way around, I'd feel the same way.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I'd feel the same. If I was from Thailand, if we were doing a show right now from Thailand, you and I.
Right.
Yeah. It'd be something. If we were both Thailand people.
Like Taiwanese?
I don't think it's Taiwanese.
No, no.
I think Taiwanese are from Taiwan.
Yeah, correct.
What are people from Thailand? Oh, no one here knows this. I looked around in the control room. Yeah,
let's.
You're like, let's backtrack on this. Hold on a second. Let's not go this deep.
No, no.
You get my point.
I know what
up.
Your point. The point being, Taz, is
it's not because we're American. We're saying this.
Well, Taz, you root for the Bills. I root for the Redskins. It's not exactly like they've been. Right. It's not like they've been dominant NFL teams.
We're not front runners, to
right.
your point.
The point being is that we've received our fair share of butt whoopings.
Yes.
I remember going up to Foxborough the year the Patriots went up undefeated, right? And went up with Ray Martell, who used to produce here, produce at WFAN locally in New York. He has season tickets to the Patriots. The game was literally over in the second quarter, and the Patriots kept on throwing the ball.
That's just.
And they put as big of a butt whooping on the Redskins that I've ever seen. I didn't leave the stadium that day saying,
"Man at the Patriots."
I said, "The Skins are an embarrassment."
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly,
you know, I had the utmost respect for how good New England was. I said, "Oh my God, that might be one of the greatest regular season performances I've ever seen."
Listen,
I wasn't angry about the Patriots scoring more and more points. It didn't bother me. Nor should it bother anybody that the United States women's team yesterday scored 13 goals on Thailand.
Right. And most, like, little leagues and stuff, like, I mean, there's different rules all over the place with little league baseball. I know when my son was young and he was playing little league and he was playing travel ball, there were run rules. Like, you could get whatever it was, 13 runs. So if you're 13 runs up on a team, the game ends. You know, this is a national level. This is like, you know, this is not like little kids here. These are adults. These women are, you know, these are great athletes. These are adults. And the other thing I want to say, for the American team, what's happening in a game like this, once you get that kind of a lead, once you're probably 6-7-0, now coach is putting in some of the girls that probably aren't going to play a lot when they're playing the better teams. So you're going to give minutes to those girls, those other women on the team that are probably not going to play much, that aren't starters, that probably aren't going to play much when you're knuckling up against the better countries. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So that's probably where the celebrations came from also. Now, Alex Morgan, right, she scored 5 goals, I think.
5 goals.
So she's like the star, right? You know,
correct.
I don't know if they pulled. Truth be told, I didn't watch the game. I read about the game. I saw the highlights. I mean, it was a beating. There wasn't much to say.
57th minute is when the United States women's team, Jill Ellis, used their two substitutions, right?
Lloyd,
two. You're allowed two substitutions, right? Lloyd and Press went into the game. That was it.
She only used two subs?
I think that's...
That's how you're reading it,
Yeah, that's how it... Right.
All right, no, I'm just wondering.
I don't think how... I think there's a limitation to how many substitutions you can use.
Okay, I don't know how it works.
Unless there's injury.
Okay, gotcha.
I think injury changes things, but I don't think you can basically go out and substitute 8 or 9 players over the course of the game. I think you're allowed to use... I don't know how many substitutions you can use.
I think you're only allowed 2 or 3.
Yeah, okay. I think you are limited in the amount of substitutions you can use.
I didn't know that. I don't follow. I'm not truth be told.
No, I got you. I understand, but it's not like Taz. The point being is, and number one is, I don't think there's the personnel. I don't think you can take every player off the field, off of the pitch, and put in another entire new starting lineup for the United States women's team. Here's what it comes down to. Right, they set a record. Men's and women's, right? They throttled Thailand. Thailand's ranked number 34. The United States women's team is ranked number 1. Now, the other thing that, truth be told, you know, there is an anger for the United States women's team.
Oh, yes.
I know. And the reason why they are ticked off and angry is because United States men's soccer players get paid more than the United States women's team.
Yeah, which is not cool.
It's not even Steven.
No.
It's not even close to being even Steven. The United States women's team is highly more successful than the United States men's soccer program. The United States women's team is ranked number 1 in the world. The United States men's team, I don't know if they'll ever be ranked number 1 in the world, to be honest with you. And that's just the fact of just how far advanced some of these other countries are across the world soccer landscape, Taz. But there is a point being here where I think this women's team wants to send a message here if they possibly can. They did yesterday, but I think they want to try and continue to do it. Basically,
right.
Saying, you know, look at us. We're going to just basically try and throttle this tournament.
And you know what? I don't blame them. I don't blame them one bit.
It should be equal pay.
It should be equal pay. It definitely should. If that motivates these girls, then God bless them. They keep on kicking ass and taking names, in my opinion. And I'm happy that we both are on the same page in this. That hey. Score. Keep scoring. Do whatever you got to do. Whatever. I mean, you're winning. Keep winning. Play defense. Stop me. I mean, what I'm going to tell you. I mean, really. It's that simple. I'm sure when they play the better countries, it's not going to be 13-0. You know what I mean? But I guess we'll have to see. But, you know, it's you, what are you going to do? You're going to put a run rule in world in international play, world class play? I mean, come on, you're going to put a goal score rule?
No, you're not going to do that.
You're not going to cap them.
You're not going to do that. And here's the other thing. Everybody, and here's where I thought people were, you know, if now I know some that came out and criticized, maybe weren't around or maybe were too young. But if you go all the way back to the 92 Dream Team, right, that we're talking about men's basketball now. You know, the United States Dream Team, which was put together because the basketball program was ticked off about losing these international tournaments and losing in the Olympics when, you know, men's basketball and United States men's basketball is clearly the best in the world, right? So they were tired of seeing the college students fail in the international landscape. So, as we all know, they put together the Dream Team, Magic and Michael, Larry and everything like that, right? You know, Patrick Ewing and John Stockton and Karl Malone. I mean, go up and down the line. I mean, the team was absolutely loaded, right? Everyone celebrated when they beat Angola 116-48. They beat another nation 116-48.
That's a just
and
a
everybody
beating.
Celebrated. Charles Barkley jokes around about it to where like the guys on the other team were looking to get autographs after the game. I mean, and everyone celebrated that team just absolutely destroying the competition, you know, in the 92 Olympics. Why can't we celebrate the women doing the same thing here?
I have no idea. I mean, I have no idea. I think that's a great point.
Why do you criticize the women's team for beating Thailand 13-0? But if we go back, I know it's a long time ago, but if you go back all the way to 92, competition is competition. As a nation, everybody celebrated and mocked Angola for losing a game 116-48.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so for the U.S. women's national teams, right, so 13-0 victory, right? So they crushed Thailand yesterday. It's the largest margin of victory in the history of FIFA World Cup, men's and women's. But we can't celebrate that.
No.
What the hell, dude?
No, you should celebrate it.
Well, we're celebrating it here.
No doubt about it. I think the I think the criticism that came there that came the United States women's way yesterday by those some of the media, I thought was just downright stupid. I mean, it just was. I mean, come on. You can't come out and say, well, no, now there's got to be a mercy rule. You shouldn't celebrate. No. First and foremost, these women, number one, they're not getting paid what they should get paid for their effort, and they're also sacrificing to play the sport that they love, right?
Right.
They're not millionaires.
No.
They're not making $20, $30 million a year.
No.
Right? They are not Messi. They're not Ronaldo.
Nope.
They're not these, you know, these world-class men's soccer players that don't ever have to worry about money the rest of the
day.
They
make tons of money. Yeah.
Right. They're not any of these guys, any of these other guys. So they're basically living, eating, breathing it every single day. And if they want, they score, you know, Morgan scores 5 goals and she wants to celebrate it and run to the center circle, count out the number of goals.
What?
So be it.
That's
Enjoy
right.
it.
She earned it.
Absolutely.
She earned it.
No
she
doubt.
Earned it. That's it. No, you're right.
855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. But you can see the disparity, Taz, because I'll be honest with you. You think if it was the men's team that defeated a team 13-0, you know what the stories would be written about this morning?
Dominance
men's
of the
soccer's,
men's.
Oh, my God, they've arrived.
Yeah, they're dominant.
They've arrived.
Yeah,
they're
right.
Dominant.
Yeah, it's not right. It's not right. It's not right, I say.
We got a new Taz is all fired up yesterday. It was almost, his dream came true. His dream came true. We'll tell you the team that's going to be part of Hard Knocks.
Oh, my God.
We'll do that next. It's Taz and the Moose on this Wednesday morning. CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, Pete. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, Taz. 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance.
Mike, we're talking about the U.S. soccer team, the women's team, how they won 13-0. They were celebrating. They crushed Thailand. They just kept on scoring. Some people upset that they... celebrating way too much. You and I, Moose, are on the same page. We have no problem with the amount they scored, how often they scored, and that they celebrated. We have no problem with that. Let's go down to Florida, talk to Terry, listening to, on 1040 AM. Terry, what's up? You're on with Taz and Moose. What's going on?
Hey, guys. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I just want to say that another point, and some of the U.S. players expressed this yesterday, was that these countries need to invest in women's sports.
Absolutely.
And,
agreed.
You know, like Norway and all these other countries that are really, really good, that's, you know, they were getting beat by the U.S. as well until they decided, hey, we need Title IX programs. Get our girls going and see these great women athletes that we're seeing now.
Mm. You're right. Yeah, Sherry, I bet you any amount of money. There were young girls in Thailand watching that were either didn't make the team or, you know, for whatever reason or not, you know, and not part of that process that were probably better players than those players that were playing that got crushed. Thanks for the call, Terry.
Well,
you know what I mean?
And you're right. And to kind of play into that point, a little bit of a crossover example, just ask, a lot of the great European stars that came up after the Dream Team in 92 that came over and played in the United States and played in the NBA. And you ask them to a man, and, you know, they were impacted greatly by that 92 Dream Team.
Yeah.
And watching those great stars and wanting to do it on the NBA level. I mean, it just is what it is. The impact is there. But, yes, I mean, you look at it, there needs to be the investment by these other countries. There is a great disparity, obviously, and we saw it play out on the pitch yesterday between the United States and Thailand.
Absolutely. And yeah, so 855-212-4227 if you have an opinion. If the USA women's soccer team partied too much, meaning celebrated too much, or if they should have stopped scoring, give the show a call. Hey, Quincy, down in South Carolina, 101 FM. What's going on, buddy? You're on with Taz and the Moose.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this morning?
What's
good,
up, Quincy?
What's
how
up,
are you, man?
Hey, look, I don't have a problem with them celebrating. You know, it's a team sport, and you're there to win. Like y'all said, if the other team can't stop you, you keep scoring.
That's it.
And the reason people have a problem with it is honestly – this country has become a country of apologists.
Yes.
And you know, you have to apologize if you beat somebody like that. That's what they wanted, to apologize to Thailand for beating them like that.
Right, and you're right. They wanted
to be... Back in the day, you get a first-place trophy, a second-place trophy, or a third-place trophy. Now, everybody gets a trophy.
Everybody's a trophy. You know? That's true.
You get a participation trophy. Come on, guys. You know I'm telling the truth.
You're right.
No, you are. And Quincy, I'm laughing because...
No, you're right.
Quincy, you're not wrong. Why... If I'm great at something, why do I need to apologize for being great?
Right.
Because I've worked my rear end off to be great. I've dedicated my life to be great. I have the God-given ability, the athletic ability.
Quincy, we appreciate the call.
Did Michael Jordan ever apologize?
No. LeBron's not apologizing.
Kobe's not apologizing.
No.
I mean,
Tom Brady, I wish he'd apologize.
Right. I mean, that's even more so. You imagine as a competitor, if you walk off the court and someone's like, listen. Sorry.
I'm just really good.
I'm sorry. I destroyed you. I mean, even worse.
I know Pete the Body, our steam board operator, during the break, you didn't hear this, he's got a hot take on this. I think he disagrees a little bit with us. Pete, go ahead. Your mic is yours.
I don't mind run up the score to 100. It doesn't matter to me, that part. Part is, it's the first game.
Right.
There's a whole lot left to go. Let's celebrate when you win a cup.
No, I get it.
It's momentum, though, man. It just starts now.
Fine, but you know what? But, you know you're so much better than them.
No, I get it, Pete. But in soccer, the goal is so impactful, so meaningful. We see everybody celebrate goals, regardless of the score. I mean, that's it.
Fine. Celebrate all you want. But I think they went a little too much over
the
top.
But, Pete, listen. Here's the thing. Pete, like, it takes so much to get to that point. The amount of work that put the team together, number one, to get all these players together, the amount of work that goes in, the amount of money spent, the travel, the sacrifice amongst all of them, that all comes out. It's the first game. So let's just say they start rolling people like this, rolling teams. I don't think you'll see them celebrate like this all the time. It's just it was the first game, so it's like, oh, we got the first one off our back. It's a big deal.
I don't mind them celebrating. Just celebrate, win the cup.
Saying. Just celebrate less.
No.
So they can't celebrate until they win the cup.
I think so. Look, they got a lot more work left to go.
Well, they do have a lot of work to go. No, nobody's doubting that. And their goal is to win the World Cup, and they are the overwhelming favorite to win the World Cup, Pete. But they have dedicated themselves, and I think the celebrations were not just. They're not trying to embarrass Thailand. It's what we mentioned before.
Having a good time.
Not just that, Taz. They want to get paid. the same as the men's
team.
That's
the main thing.
That's
unfair what's going on.
Right, that's unfair, and they want to hammer that point home. That's the other thing that's on the line here. So there's an underlying motivation here for the United States women's team, not just for individual and team success, but they also want equal pay.
You know what? Good for the United States women's team, because now we're all talking about them,
no
which
doubt.
Is good.
The
which
three comes your way next. Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.